up the end, they think, oh, y'all.
Yeah.
Yourself.
You're in Dallas.
Don't be talking to me in a song, or. Sure.
Dallas.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Let's be fine.
That was in there.
That'd be great, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be nice.
Like, sure, I'd love it.
I got him now.
I'll get their attention, no way. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here this day. This is our transition Sunday. We look forward to sharing together the things of God. And as we begin, I just wanted to welcome you again in the name of the Lord and offer, we have announcements that we need to make. Yes, right here.
Okay. First of all, we sold 46 masks. We have three extra. If anybody's interested in buying the last three, we've sold 46 masks.
Wow.
We are having Bible school June 25th. We are having a meeting for that June 2nd outside in the parking lot. Bring a chair, a blanket if anybody wants to come. We're going to have Kelly's made all of the program up. We're going to hand them to the teachers so the teachers can get busy and learn what they're going to teach the kids. Also, we are going to donations. We have travel sizes. I'm going to put this on the back bulletin board. This is for, we need 25. We're going to try at least 30 bags for the homeless. We have increments of 5 items, so if you want to buy 5 shampoos, just put your name beside there so we know this is all we got, and we have other stuff that we already had donations. So that's going to be back on the board for anybody who wants to put their name on there. The other things we need is many water bottles or waters, juice boxes. Anyone has any pie pans? The plastic pie pan, or not plastic, but aluminum pie pan, we need them for arts and crafts. And we need jars, right, Nance?
Yeah, I don't know how many you just brought out there.
There are 17, but
oh, okay.
we have at least 19 or 20 kids already signed up.
Wonderful.
A lot of kids. The one group, we have 9 to 12, I think. We have a lot of kids in that group, which is Chelsea's and Dustin's group. So we may have to bring some down to the next group or make another group for these kids, because I think there's at least 13 of them kids. The rest of them are the next size down in that. So we may have to make another group, but we'll worry about that when the time gets here.
Good problem to have.
I know, right? And then Vacation Bible School sign-up sheet. If anybody wants to volunteer and help us, we always need help that day. You don't have to help the whole day. If you want to only help a couple hours in the morning, we're going to be there from 8 a.m. to 3:30. If parents have to go to work, they can drop their kids off to us, and we will watch them until Bible school starts at 9. And then Bible school will run till 3, and we'll be there till 3:30. We have to clean up the park, which we have stations that we're gonna do cleanup. We're gonna do homeless bags. The kids are gonna make homeless bags up for the homeless, and we'll take them into Frederick to the homeless for men, women, and kids. And then we have cards we're gonna make and take to the nursing home for people at nursing home, and we're gonna plant flowers. I think that's about it, and then we'll have a meeting June 2nd at 6:30 out in the parking lot, and we'll discuss what we need to do there. Anybody wants to donate money towards us, we're gonna wait and hold off on buying the snack for or the lunch for us. That day we're getting Lunchables. We can go to the store and get them the night before or whatever, and most kids that we know have a preference of what they want, so we know what Lunchables to get. Other than that, that's all I have.
Thank you so much. Sounds like you're ready and organized.
I'm ready and organized.
Yeah, June 2nd, what time?
6:30.
Wonderful. Praise God. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Any other announcements? Yes, Bob?
You've already got it on the back of the bulletin, but sometimes I miss it, so I'm sure a lot of others. Graduate bags here will be that Sunday to pay respect to that and pass them out. It'll be on May the 30th, so if you have anything you'd like to leave in the bag or do at that time, please do. And also, as I understand and in the information I've received this week, there's going to be some singing this morning. And you know what? It's most appropriate because the brochure from BRF Witness has said, God says sing. So it's good timing, and let us hear your beautiful voices this morning.
Praise God. Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much. Yes. We did begin our Sunday school today, and we're grateful for the DVD here that we're watching in David Jeremiah. Really good message this morning. Hope you'll join us next week for that. And the children will be meeting in person every other Sunday. And so we'll have them share their verses up front when we begin every week. And so around the time of July probably is when we'll have the kids come every week. So we're just grateful for this opportunity that we can continue to move forward. And so without further ado, without other announcements, let us hear the prelude. Brother Jerry. Praise God. The call to worship for this morning comes from Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we give you thanks and praise for an opportunity to gather as believers to worship you and to praise the name of the Lord. And we ask your Holy Spirit indeed would be present, Lord. Come and move among us as we lift up your praises. And we ask, Lord, that you would teach us anew what it means to have the assurance of faith. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. And I'm going to ask you if you would open your hymnals to number 268. 268, we'll be standing and singing Revive Us Again. Would you join me in song? May be seated. We always take time in our service to share together the things of God and what's been happening in our lives, and so we offer any joys or concerns at this time.
It's a joy to see Miss Betty.
Amen.
Praise God. Miss Betty's here.
Welcome.
And Bill Liver Transport.
Others? Yes, Frank?
I want to thank Ronnie for Nancy for putting on the service this morning at Sunday school. I thought it was very, very interesting and very inspirational.
Amen.
So I really appreciate this very, very much. Also, I want to keep Larry, Michelle's family in the family, passing Larry. I want to keep, Wilton in our prayers, and Judy. Judy's been going through, she had a knee replacement.
Yes.
And I understand she's having some issues and problems with that. And certainly want to keep her in our prayers as well. And anyone else that may be having some difficulties physically or mentally, and most of all, spiritually.
Thank you. If you hadn't heard, Brother Larry passed away on Wednesday evening. There will be a viewing tomorrow at Woodsboro, Harpsters and Woodsboro. I think it's 2 to 4 and 6 to 8. And then the burial is private. And so please keep Michelle and the family in your prayers. Yes.
It is that, and I want to thank President, Governor Hogan, for his latest comments on helping to shed some of these dying things that are a pain in the backside. But we're just glad of that, and glad to hear, and want to thank Maxine for all the fine music and talent that she put forth through the ages, and we always look forward to that. But I've got to say, it's good to hear the organ back in service and the voices ring out.
Thank you.
You just feel like you're more of a part of it when you can share in that image. And give God the praise for carrying us through this far, and may we continue to grow even stronger.
Amen.
Nancy?
I think we need to all pray for our country. What's going on is really sad. And I think we also need to pray for Israel. The Bible tells us to pray for them, and there's so many problems there.
Yes, I read yesterday a letter from the Mennonite missionary that we support there, Gary, and their church has not been able to meet since March of last year. They've been meeting online through Zoom, so they were anxious to get together. They were planning to get together and have communion in an area near Galilee, and because the recent disrupt in the riots and the things that are going on, they had to cancel that. And actually, one of the missiles landed not too far from where they were planning to meet, and so they were glad that they canceled. But they're anxious to get together again as well. But there is a great upheaval in Israel this week, and so please keep our brothers and sisters in the faith there in the land in your prayers. Danny. Thank you, yes. Here?
Yeah, I want to keep Jenny continue on our prayer
right.
list, and Debbie, as she's going through testing. And we had a joy yesterday. Travis graduated from Shippensburg College
wonderful.
Yesterday, and that was wonderful.
Excellent. My hometown. Wonderful.
Brother Tracy.
Yes.
Also, I think we should keep the immigrants that are actually coming into America, but most of all, the children that's being separated from their parents, or the parents is leaving them, and they're finding them now throughout the countryside. Some of them are passing away because of the conditions and so forth that they're faced.
Yes.
I see it on television, and it's so heartbreaking.
Yes. Yes. And that's your sister-in-law? Okay, thank you. Prayers for Betty. Any others? I'm sure there's others on your mind. Let's bring them to the Lord, and we invite you to either kneel or to remain seated. Let's bow our heads and pray, and we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. Father God, we do give you thanks and praise as we come before your throne of grace this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the access that you give to us as believers and members of your family because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so, Lord, we just want to praise you for the many blessings of this past week, for the warmer temperatures, a chance to plant gardens and flowers and enjoy the spring. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings in bringing people through surgeries, and we just ask you would continue to meet Judy's needs, and we pray, Father, you would move mightily in our country, Lord, as we continue to move forward and transition. Lord, we pray for wisdom and patience and understanding and forbearance. We pray for continued hedge of protection around our healthcare workers and our first responders and police, and thank you, Lord, for those that are doing vaccinations. And we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to move in a mighty way to make our society safe. We know that not only is there trouble here, but also in other countries as well. And so we pray for the violence in Myanmar, that it might subside. We pray for our believers in India, where there's having great problems there with COVID. In other countries, Lord, we just ask you would move and bringing about relief and supplies, and bring about the need that the doctors have for rest. And we just ask, Lord, you might move in a mighty way. We think of those here who are struggling with COVID and those that are on ventilators. We pray, Lord, for good health. We pray for strength, Lord. And we know your mercies are new every morning. And so we pray for your hand of comfort to be upon Michelle and the Cook family and Larry's passing. Be with those who are still grieving, others who have passed away recently. And we pray for our shut-ins, Lord, meet their needs. We ask that you might help them each day. And we pray, Lord, you would move in those that are still struggling with health conditions. And so we lift up Danny's mom and Debbie. And we think of Jen, Lord, and others. Lord, the names that come to our mind, we bring them to your throne of grace this moment. We pray for our country, Lord. God, Would you move, would you grant wisdom and direction and guidance? Help our leaders, Lord, to follow your word. And we pray that we might be able to live in a land of peace. And we ask, Lord, that there might be peace in Jerusalem, peace in Israel this week. We pray, Father, for our military. Thank you, Lord, for those that are serving. And particularly we ask you would keep a hedge protection around Caleb and Elijah and meet their needs as well. God, we think of those that are sharing your word here at home and abroad on the mission field. We ask that you might meet their needs. Provide for them financially, emotionally, physically, that they might continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ in these last days. And so bless us as a congregation, Lord. Help us here on the ridge to make a witness for you. And we pray you would especially bless this upcoming Vacation Bible School. Thank you for the 20 children that have signed up so far. Lord, we are just grateful for that and the opportunity that we'll be able to share with them that day. And so, Lord, we just pray you would continue to let your name go forth in power. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to join with me in standing, and we're going to turn to number 289 and sing together. Number 289. It is Blessed Assurance. May be seated. Our scripture reading for today comes from 1 John chapter 5. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray for me, before me? Father God, we just pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds now would be acceptable in your sight. Give us the blessed assurance of faith. I pray in his name. Amen. Have there been times in your life when you needed a little reassurance of your salvation? Maybe you're going through some changes or some difficulties. It's often easy to begin to doubt, to have questions about whether or not you really are saved. As a young pastor of a country church, I had the opportunity to visit a neighbor who lived about a mile from the building, and I'd heard through the community grapevine that he was diagnosed with cancer. He had terminal cancer, and I knew his wife. She would come occasionally to special events that we had at her church, and so I got a call, and she asked them, would I come and pay him a visit in their home, which I did. To my surprise, I found a well-rounded individual, and we had a delightful conversation about a number of topics, including faith. He was not scared to die. He told me so, and he just said he needed to hear himself say the things that he believed out loud, and just to think about those things again. And so we had a delightful conversation. It seemed to me that as he was getting ready to face eternity, he was more ready than some of the other people in the church, although he was not a churchgoer. And I recall the last visit I made in his home. Before he died, we sat in his living room, and we were talking, and he asked if I could see that little girl sitting in the chair across the living room from us. And occasionally I noticed while we were talking, he'd glance over in that direction. And he described a beautiful child that was dressed in white and was sitting there looking at him. I told him I couldn't see her. But maybe you can. It certainly is possible that she might be there. He might have been hallucinating because he was on very strong medication. But I said that maybe God had sent him an angel to help guide him home. He seemed at peace when I left. He had the assurance of faith. He was a believer as he faced death. The first man that I ever baptized, his name was Melvin. Again, it was a similar situation. And he called and said, would I be willing to baptize him? That he believed, but he just wanted to make sure that he was ready, and he had never been baptized. And I said, certainly I would be glad to do that. And he was a large man. And I can tell you that it was a little bit difficult to do so, because our baptism was not very big. It was fairly deep, and so we filled it extra large, extra full, so that he wouldn't have to bend so much because of his condition. And he was just so grateful that he was able to finally complete this task that he wanted to do for so long, to be baptized and to enter into eternity, knowing that he had faith and he was assured of that faith. Brother Larry also had a great assurance, a deep faith, and he was also ready. You know, in this little letter here that we have of John, he writes these important things. And so I want to ask this morning, do you have the assurance of faith? Are you sure about your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you confident as a son and daughter of the Most High that you're a part of the family of God and that you're going to live forever? Or are there some doubts? If someone would ask you, are you saved? How would you respond? I hope so. I think so. How would you respond? Do you have the assurance of faith? Well, John writes these words. He says, these things I've written to you, those who believe, and so he's writing to us as well, in the name of the Son of God. Those who believe in the name of the Son of God, he's writing to these people, not to unbelievers, but he's writing to believers. And he says that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the Son, the name of the Son of God. Now, if you notice in our Bibles here, these are the New King James translation. And in this passage, in verse 13, that word there, continue, is italicized. In many of the other translations, that word's not there. And so the translators of this version were trying to help clarify or clear the meaning of this verse. And so they added that word, continue. In other verses, it says, make sure that you have eternal life. And so to continue to believe that he is the Son of God, to continue in that thinking that you might have eternal life. This is our lectionary scripture for today, and I was wondering, Lord, why did you want me to preach this message? Even this morning I was coming up, Lord, are you sure this is what I'm supposed to share today? And then after seeing David Jeremiah's message here this morning on heaven, it really fits, it really connects. And so that's how the Holy Spirit moves. But John is writing here from Ephesus. It is around the year 90 A.D., and he wants to emphasize Christian fellowship. Remember, John is the Jewish fisherman from Bethsaida, from the Capernaum area, and he's the one that Jesus called as a young man. He's one of the youngest of the disciples. And now, years later, he's an old man. This is before he is exiled to the island of Patmos, where he writes the Revelation. You know, John wrote five books of the Bible, and a total of 1,414 verses. 1,414, number of verses that he wrote. And so remember, these are the words of a guy who is not just sharing things about faith, but he saw Jesus, he heard Jesus, he touched Jesus, he experienced those 3 years with Jesus. And this is the guy also who wrote John 3:16, which you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. To have eternal life. And so he's writing to believers that we might know, that we might have the assurance of salvation. Now, some of the comments that I'm sharing here today come from Dr. Stanley, another great teacher, Bible teacher, and like David Jeremiah here, and this is from the Glorious Journey that he's written. But here in John, this little letter, these are easy to read, so I encourage you this week maybe to get a chance to, you know, to sit down and to read 1 John. But he wants believers to not only know the Lord, but also to know that they have eternal life through him. To have faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and to know that you have eternal life. David Jeremiah might say, to know that you're going to heaven, that your name is there in the book. John wants us to know. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I want you to have the hope. I want you to wish so. Maybe so. You might have. He doesn't say that. He says no. To know is to be assured of. To have the confidence of. To be confident. To be certain. that you have eternity, that you have life everlasting. Someone has said that Christianity is a no-so religion. A no-so religion. We know that we have eternal life. Unfortunately, many believers are not certain about these things. They're not sure about their salvation. Sometimes they doubt whether they're even saved. And why is that? Well, I think there are several reasons. I'm going to give you just five real quickly. Reasons why people aren't sure about their faith. And the first is that there's sin in their lives. This is the major one. That there's some sort of sin that they're harboring in their life. Sin brings a feeling of estrangement from God. It brings us a feeling of isolation and separation. We should not continue to sin. It shouldn't be the constant bent or the constant habit of our lives. And so when we do, we sometimes then wonder about our salvation. If we sin and we feel miserable as believers, this is really an indication that we do belong to God. Because non-believers often can experience, they can go ahead and sin and their conscience is just dead to it. They don't really think about it. They don't have really a sense of guilt. But when we have that sense of guilt, when the Holy Spirit's nudging us and we don't have peace about things, we know that's God's indication that we need to repent and to bring back into fellowship and relationship with Him. And so the Holy Spirit grieves us when we sin. The unrepentant sin in our lives can damage our faith. It can interrupt our walk with the Lord, and it can cause us to doubt salvation. The second reason is that there's false teaching in our lives. False teaching. And this usually comes from two different camps. There's many liberal pastors today, and also teachers that emphasize a works-based religion, a works-based performance. And so oftentimes people can get into positions of leadership that don't hold a high view of God's word. If you water it down, if you add higher criticism, if you think about evolutionary views, if you do these kinds of things, you can often pick and choose the verses that you like. And so many people really overemphasize legalism and a works-based salvation. But if you do that, how do you know when you worked hard enough? How do you know you knocked on enough doors? How do you know you served enough meals? How do you know that you've done it long enough in order to keep your salvation? Well, you don't. And so there's no real assurance in that. The third point is that there's an overemphasis on emotions in our lives. Some people place a lot of importance on feelings. They want a feel-good religion, and so they'll do this or that. The Christian life should be joyful. We should be walking around with smiles on our faces behind these masks. We should have these emotions, but rather than focusing on the emotions, we should focus on faith and facts. We should focus on doctrine, and when we focus on emotions, assurance is very rare. We don't drive the train based on emotions. Emotions, if you will, are the caboose. Faith and fact drive the train. So there will be heartaches. There will be financial setbacks in our lives. There will be sorrow when we lose a loved one. There will be disappointments in life. And the shortest verse of the Bible is that Jesus wept. And so he knew these things. But, you know, I also think that Jesus laughed and Jesus smiled and Jesus had some fun with his disciples. And so don't doubt your salvation if you're going through a hard time. God's word is sure and we can depend upon it. Someone has said that greater assurance comes through strong faith, and faith only grows stronger through the vigorous exercise of testing. Our faith grows stronger as it's tested. The fourth point is that there is a failure to take God at His word. Do we take God at His word? Here's a conversation. Think if there's any logic in this. A pastor asked, do you believe Acts 16:31, that whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved? Do you believe that? A parishioner says, well, yes, but I don't know if I am. The pastor asks him, do you believe on his name? The parishioner says, yes, but I don't know if it worked. The pastor asks, why do you insist on calling God a liar? And now the red-faced parishioner says, I would never call God a liar. And the pastor asks, did God or did God not say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved? The parishioner responds, he said it. I know he said it. I just don't know if I'm saved. Is there any logic in that? Very little. Doubting salvation. John says in verse 10 of our scripture for this morning that he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Now remember, this is John writing. John was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there with Peter and James, and he audibly heard the voice come from the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. John heard that. He saw the things that took place as Jesus was transfigured before his eyes. And so he certainly had an assurance that these things were true. And so don't doubt the sincerity or the trustworthiness or the dependability of God's word. God's word is true. And so if we don't accept that, then in essence, we're calling God a liar. Some people will say, or they might think, well, I used to be saved. Well, maybe they've drifted from the church. Maybe they were baptized as a child and joined early on and then got busy with life and just really didn't get back to attending church. They might thought maybe something that they said or something that they did caused them to lose their salvation. Remember John wrote in 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so our forgiveness and eternal security really is based on what Jesus has done, not on what we have done, not what we can do. But our security, our assurance, is based on what Jesus has done. And he has done everything in order to give us salvation. We can trust his word. And whether we're good or bad, it's not whether we were bad enough to lose our salvation or good enough to keep it. It is what Jesus has done. The fifth reason here that people doubt sometimes is that there are satanic attacks in our lives. The enemy will whisper in your ear, and he will shoot fiery darts at you, darts of doubt, to raise questions and to concerns and to keep you from being active as a Christian. And so he'll say, you know, look at you. You call yourself a Christian? Look at the way you're acting. Is that what you said? That doesn't sound like a Christian to me. You're not really one, are you? That voice in you hear in your head, that arrow that you allowed to hit you, those ill statements of other people used by the Lord, by the Satan to cause doubt about the Lord. You know, he wants to throw you off your game. He wants to keep you out of the game, especially in these end times, especially if he knows his time is short. He wants to keep you out of the game for the gospel. Satan is accuser of the brethren. He's going to accuse you. He's going to bring back, will you remember what you did before? Yes, but I already asked God's forgiveness for that. And so we need to be able to answer any doubts, any accusations, or any lies against the truth of God's word. What is the truth that assures us this assurance? What is the truth that counters the enemies of assurance? The first is that we should remember that it is God's will and His desire that we be saved. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4. And in 2 Peter 3:9 it says, He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so just like the prodigal son's father, who was standing out looking for him, looking for his return, welcoming him with open arms, putting on the robe and the ring on his finger, welcome him back home. This is the kind of God that we have. The second thing is to remember that God's made provision for our salvation. He's the one who sent Jesus to earth to come, to be born, to live a life, to die on a cruel cross. He's done everything possible in order that we might be saved. Jesus lived his life a ransom for many. Jesus bore on his body our sins on that tree, having died to sins that we might live for righteousness. And so Jesus has paid a high price. It wasn't cheap, brothers and sisters. It cost God a great deal. They had never had a break in their fellowship, in their relationship, until Jesus was hanging on that cross and God had to look away from his son because he couldn't bear to look on him. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, he felt that tremendous separation from God. It was not a cheap price to pay, but he paid it. He was willing to go all the way to the cross for you and for me. And so, what father would work to provide for his son, for his daughter, for his child? What would a father do if he worked hard to meet all their needs and provide what they wanted, and then have the child say, you know, I'm not sure if my dad likes me. I'm not sure if my dad loves me. Wouldn't it be heartbreaking for a father to have that insecurity in the heart of their child? Our Heavenly Father is in the same way. He has provided a salvation for us, and it cost him the son of his only begotten son to die on a cruel cross, and then to have that gift rejected, or they're not sure that God loves them. A gift is meant to be given. A gift is meant to be received, to be taken, and to be opened. And so this is the gift that he's given to us. It's not a gift that he's going to take back. He's not an Indian giver. And so God's going to give to all who ask. Each person has the responsibility then and the choice to make. And we've emphasized that that choice needs to be made before death. The choice to accept or to reject the Savior. To make no choice is a choice of rejection. Jesus did not die, rise again, ascend, and thus automatically save us. The Bible teaches us that we have to make a choice. There's not universal salvation per se. Now, that is that all people, by virtue of being born, are going to get into heaven. John wrote, But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And John also wrote these words. He said, He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Jesus himself said, Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And so each person needs to make that decision to receive or to reject the offer of salvation. And, you know, sometimes a person may not remember the exact day or the hour or the year. Maybe they were very young when they went forward or said that they believed in Jesus. Maybe at a vacation Bible school, or maybe at some Sunday school event or something. Or maybe the parent was kind of pushing them to get baptized. But they can know in their heart that they're a Christian. And they can know whether or not they desire to be a Christian, to continue to be a Christian. And so if a person is struggling with the assurance of salvation, it's very simple. All you have to do is ask yourself three things. One is, do you believe in the Word of God? Yes or no, right? Do you believe in the Word of God? God said it. I believe it. That settles it, right? God's Word is truth. We can rely on it. The second is, do I have the witness of the Holy Spirit in my life? John wrote in verse 6, he says, if the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit of truth. And so that conviction that we sense, that understanding that we have, is not based on feelings. It is based on fact, on faith. The Spirit himself bears witness that our spirit, that we are the children of God. And the third question to ask yourself is, am I walking as a believer? Am I living as a Christian? Are you different today than you were before you were saved? Do you have a deep desire to continue to grow as a Christian with the Lord? You may sin from time to time after you're saved, and the Holy Spirit will be grieved and will convict you and will continue to move you towards sanctification. But salvation has been settled. He will move you to sanctification. And so you don't lose your salvation every time you mess up. However, an unsaved person may feel some guilt about what they did wrong. But, you know, after doing it over and over again, they can harden their heart to a point that they can no longer respond to their conscience. And that is a very dangerous place to be spiritually. For those of us who are saved, maybe you were saved when you were young, it might be that you need to reaffirm your salvation, just to have that assurance of salvation. And so, you know, teens and young adults will often sometimes go through this process. You know, they want not to depend on their parents' coats. They don't want to depend on their coat strings so much. They want to make sure that their faith is secure for themselves. They want to make decisions for themselves. And so sometimes people ask to be rebaptized. I have baptized a number of adults who were baptized before and wanted to be baptized again. And so I'm not alarmed by that. You know, we have to realize there are a number of people who are in this position and just simply need a little reassurance. And I think God understands that. Others might be that they were, as a child, really weren't sure if they made that choice for themselves, and so they want to now make that choice. People are different, and God understands and deals with us in different ways. And so I think to have that assurance, the blessed assurance of salvation, that it's okay to be rebaptized. You know, term brethren comes from the German Baptist brethren, and we were oftentimes accused of rebaptizing. In 1700s, you had to be a member of the Catholic Church, the church of that area. Oftentimes it was Catholicism. And so everyone that lived in that district, were born into that district, became a part of that church. And they were baptized as infants. And so as the brethren studied the scriptures, they realized that they needed to make a conscious decision themselves as adults. And so in 1708, eight individuals, Alexander Mack, went into the Ader River at Schwarzenau and baptized each other. And so they were called this derogatory term, rebaptizers. And so we have that in our history. I think about a song that I came to know through camp, and that you might know it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face ought to show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Well, we used to do that, you know, stomp your feet and then shout hooray and then do all three, you know. It's kind of a silly song, fun song to do. Well, maybe we should add to that song, if you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. And so if you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. Let's give God a praise. We want to praise God for his salvation. You can know that you're saved. You can have that assurance of faith. And I believe as we go through this series of the mysteries of heaven, we're going to be even more assured of that confidence that we have that we're a child of God. That you're a child of God, you're in the kingdom of God forever. you can continue to believe because these things are true. These things have been witnessed. The scriptures that we have are based on eyewitness accounts. They heard Jesus. They spent time with him. They knew him. And so these things aren't based on feelings. They're based on fact and faith. They're based on the confidence that we have that God's word is true. And the testimony that we have of God, of life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And we have this assurance because of the Holy Spirit that lives within. John wanted us to know, those who believe, that they might know that they believe in the Son of God, and that they might know that they have eternal life. I like this quote I came across. It said, John's confidence is impressive. He wants us to know that we have eternal life. We can only know this if our salvation rests in Jesus and not in our own performance. If it depends on me, then on a good day, I'm saved, and on a bad day, I don't really know. But if it depends on what Jesus has done for me, then I can know. We can know. You know, we live in a crazy, chaotic world. We have no blueprint to how to go through a pandemic. And things are changing so quickly that we are certainly saying that we're living in the end times. And yet, don't allow the enemy to cause you to doubt or to waver in your faith. Know what you believe. Know who you believe in. And continue to believe as we look forward to eternity life, eternal life, as we look forward to heaven. I want to close with this quote. Victoria Murray, she wrote in 2008, she said, "With all the chaos, confusion, and uncertainty of life, we all need to know of the blessed assurances that God has for our lives. The everlasting truth that God can move us from heartache to healing, from burden to blessings, from depression to deliverance, from trials to triumphs. God loved, God gave. We believe, we have. Period." Brothers and sisters, you can know that you're saved and that we have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the assurance of faith and salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to the home that he's preparing for us, and we ask, Lord, that you might move in a mighty way, that not only would we have this assurance, but that we might be able to share with others that they too might have the same assurance, that their names might be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we might enjoy heaven together. And so, Lord, we pray your blessings upon these words on your scriptures, and we pray, Lord, you'd apply them to our hearts and our lives, that you might remove any doubt, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close our service by standing and singing number 323. Number 323.
Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God,
And now may you go with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.